This day fortnight, we'll be voting in the general election. Like the party leaders, we'll be continuing our tour of the country over the next 2 weeks to hear from you. And we'll also be interviewing the leaders, starting this morning with Holly Cairns of the Social Democrats and candidate in the general election in Cork South West. Holly Cairns, good morning.
Good morning.
And we're talking with you first because you're due to give birth in the next few days, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
You said this week at the launch of your party's campaign, the manifesto not out until next week, and about red lines for taking part in the next government, that you won't cut taxes. What ones will you raise?
What we're saying is, Gavin, I think what we see time and time again is political parties promising big tax cuts and investment in public services. And what we're saying is we will prioritise what's important and invest in what matters, in housing, health, in disability, climate and childcare. And, you know, it's not reasonable or feasible to say that you're going to do both. And we want to be straight with people about what our priorities are. I think that this kind of time in Ireland, this government's legacy will be one of missed opportunity, because the opportunity that these record budget surpluses represent to address our issues in housing, shortcomings in healthcare, threadbare disability services, all of these things could be addressed at a time like this. And instead, that opportunity has been squandered. And we've seen this, you know, just in advance of an election where I think ultimately the government tried to buy people's vote. Okay. They tried to buy the election by kind of just splashing the cash around to see what sticks. And I think there are a lot of people out there who would like a different approach, one that actually tries to address the issues that we have, that doesn't kind of engage in this politics for the next election rather than the next generation.
Your alternative budget last month promised a vacant property tax, an increase in that from 0.3% to 10%, also promised a super wealth tax. What other taxes would you raise or introduce?
We just wouldn't offer the tax cuts that the government are offering and the one-off payments, where,
yes,
for example...
What tax increases would you introduce?
Apart from vacancy and a tax on stamp duty to prevent the bulk purchasing of homes, there is enough taxes being raised. There's enough money coming in terms of our corporation tax and all of that to address these issues. So we're not saying that we'll raise lots of taxes, but we wouldn't be giving the same amount of tax cuts and credits and stuff like that. Because these one-off payments, although like they're so welcome and I completely recognise and understand that, they evaporate so quickly. But if you had, you know, a public model of childcare, genuinely free, equally accessible healthcare, free education, that brings down the cost of living for everybody. So it's what do you get back for your taxes? Giving people a few euro back of their own money or improving these services? That's the choice that the electorate have. And we're offering a choice to vote for something different, to invest in what matters and not try to kind of throw cash around in an effort to buy people's votes, these kind of one-off measures and a continuation towards the privatisation that we've seen of our public services. We want to build those services.
Okay. You've pledged €25 a week more in core social welfare payments, increasing in line with minimum standards of living over the course of a term of government. How much would that cost in the first year? How much extra would it cost after 4 years?
It would cost 1.8 billion. And so, you know, we think that how much people get on social welfare, for example, if you're on a pension, shouldn't just be kind of, you know, at the whim of the minister of the day. It should be in line with the minimum essential standards of living so people can live, you know, a dignified existence. And in addition to that, Gavin, we also think that there should be a cost of disability payment, because we know that there's an added cost to having a disability. And all we've seen from the government is a one-off payment to recognise that. Of course, disabled people have that added cost for 365 days of the year. So we would also have a €30 cost of disability payment on top of the €25 core increase in social welfare payments.
On disability, you say that another red line for entering government would be a standalone disability ministry. What practical difference would that make for people with disabilities?
Well, at present, like I've said, there's a huge disconnect, I think, for people between the government kind of spun success story to a certain extent versus the reality for people. So to have these record surpluses and threadbare services, it doesn't quite add up. And, you know, for years now, since I became a TD, I've been raising disability issues every week, starting from when children or young one, you know, who's trying to get an assessment of need to access children's disability network teams, to trying to access education. After that, trying to access, you know, respite services, independent supported living. We have the lowest employment rates for disabled people in the EU. All of these issues. And you have to say, what's stopping us? How comes other countries can provide these services and we don't?
And what practical difference would a standalone ministry make, Holly Cairns?
Because it comes down, Gavin, to a lack of political will. When you think about it, when we have the services, Ireland shouldn't be a country that doesn't provide these services that, by the way, people have a right to. So we believe the weight of a senior ministry, a minister, a cabinet table, fighting for people's rights would make a huge difference. Because when you break it down, what is the excuse or the reason for this? The reason is there hasn't been that political weight to make a difference. For example, there was a transport grant that was scrapped a decade ago by the then Fine Gael and Labour government. It was promised that it would be reintroduced immediately. Over a decade later, it has not. Why? Not because we don't have the resources, because there hasn't been the political will. So we believe that is absolutely essential, that there is the political weight behind this to finally address this issue.
50,000 affordable homes, a red line also for you entering government. How would you deliver that?
So we know to date that, you know, because at the heart of this housing crisis is an affordability crisis. So in terms of when we talk about the number of homes delivered, what's key is the delivery of those affordable purchase homes. How have affordable homes been delivered to date? Through the not-for-profit housing bodies delivering them, as well as you can also do this through the local authorities. So our plan to deliver 50,000 affordable purchase homes is to deliver it through that sector. So including, for example, Gavin, like early stage finance isn't provided at the moment. So that would massively help those not-for-profit bodies deliver more of that housing. If you then increase their scale, that brings down the cost of their delivery, and also through the local authorities, because that's the only way to date that we've seen houses delivered at that price that's actually genuinely affordable for people. So that is kind of a deal breaker for the Social Democrats, that we think really at the bare minimum we should be delivering 50,000 affordable purchase homes. Another way of doing that, ensuring that they kind of remain affordable if they kind of change hands, is that we need to have a zoning for affordable housing. So to do that, we give powers to the Land Development Agency to be able to CPO land, and it would be zoned for affordable housing so it remains at that affordable rate.
We've been hearing about Donald Trump putting his cabinet together again this morning, keeping some of the promises he made on his campaign. If he meant what he said about taxes, tariffs and jobs too, what's your party's plan for how we'd cope?
So I think we had the same kind of fears in 2016 when Donald Trump was elected around our corporation taxes, and those fears didn't materialise, thankfully. So it's hard to know what's going to happen, but I think we all know the precarious nature of the corporation tax receipts that we get and how
what he does mean at this time.
Yeah, no, that's I'm getting to that. I'm saying that is why we should have an approach which invests in building services rather than, when we have these surpluses, just throwing that money away and wasting it. This is why we would take a different approach, why we would, you know, not take the approach that the current government does. We would invest in those things like building a public model of childcare, in accelerating, because, for example, I just use healthcare, Gavin. We're 7 years into what should have been a 10-year plan to build a national health service. Most countries in Europe have that. If that was prioritised, if there was ring-fenced funding for that, rather than it being, again, at the whim of the minister for the day, how much they'd allocate to health in a year, and then the, you know, very predictable supplementary budget that comes after that, we're saying we would take that different approach. So when there's things like the unforeseen circumstances, which we've seen so frequently, things like COVID, that you have this kind of ground beneath which people can't fall below. Access to education, access to healthcare, access to housing being the bare minimum, rather than that being maybe up in the air depending on different circumstances.
You've said you'll talk to all parties after the election. Do you really want to be in government this time, even if it means extending Fine Gael's term in power to almost 20 unbroken years?
We want to go into government, absolutely. That is our aim as a party. We really want to build on our momentum from the local elections and get the strongest possible mandate to have an impact on the next government. But key for us, Gavin, is that we don't want to go into government to make up the numbers. We want to go into government to make a difference. And so that's why we want to be very clear with the public about what our deal breakers are. It's not about who, which party. It's about the policies that we want to see implemented, we want to see realised for our communities. So that's why we're setting out very clearly what will be the bare minimum for us to enter into a programme.
Will you share power with the Labour Party?
We'll talk to all parties, and absolutely we'll be, you know, speaking to parties on the left as a priority, but absolutely, we've said time and time again, and I stand by that, we'll speak to every party, absolutely.
Before I let you go, there's a 10-party or 10-person leader debate on Monday night on RT Television. Will you be taking part in that?
I'm kind of having to play it day by day at the moment, Gavin, to be honest with you. It's very close to my due date. So, you know, being kind of a distance from CUMH has to be taken into consideration.
Of course.
So I'll play it day by day at the moment.
Holly Cairns, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, and we wish you well with the rest of your campaign and with your due date next week too. Holly Cairns, leader of the Social Democrats, thank you.